welcome to That Makes Total Sense, the podcast where we talk about faith, finance, and everyday life in a way that makes total sense. I'm your host, Alexis Busetti. On this podcast, you'll hear the personal stories of friends I'll be interviewing who are doing familiar things in new and innovative ways. We'll answer questions specifically about money and our relationship with it, and we'll explore faith and Bible teaching together. In all of these, it's not about changing our convictions as much as it is about messing with our methods. We'll have a lot of moments here together where we pause, then say, that makes total sense. Hi, I'm Alexis Busetti, and welcome to That Makes Total Sense. Today, our guest is Casey Pruitt with the Grace Alliance, and I am so excited to have Casey talk to all of us about her work at the Grace Alliance, what they do, how she got into this space, because it is so needed in the body of Christ. The Grace Alliance is all about mental health. And I feel like this is a conversation that has been happening around the church for a long time, and we're finally starting to enter in a really meaningful way. And the Grace Alliance, in my opinion, is a huge part of that conversation and moving forward in this space of mental health. So I'm going to let Casey tell you all about it, but they really focus on biblical truths, research, community groups, just growing and healing together and really just being there for each other as part of the body. So I cannot wait for you to hear this. Casey is amazing. The work that she does with Grace Alliance is amazing. I'll put all of the links and all of the contact information that you'll need in the show notes, because trust me, this is an area that you are going to want to check out, because every one of us, if we haven't been directly affected, we have been close to someone who has been affected in this area of mental health. So listen to this episode today with Casey Pruitt from the Grace Alliance. Hi, everybody, and welcome to That Makes Total Sense. I am Alexis Busetti, and I am thrilled to be sitting here with Casey Pruitt. Hi, Casey.
Hi there. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you, Casey. So Casey and I are new friends, and this was kind of strange. Casey works for the Grace Alliance, which is actually what we're going to get into talking about in this conversation. But how I met Casey was kind of wild. We both write for familychristian.com. We both contribute to that website. And there was an article on there, Casey, I think it was your self-care article, which right. I may link to, because this thing has just like gone wild on that site. And so I read it. I was going to share it with one of my girlfriends who was saying that was kind of her prayer request for the year. It was about self-care. And then I read your bio and it said Houston. And I was like, no way, Houston. And so I reached out, and turns out, I mean, Casey, we probably live like maybe 5 miles from each other, right?
Yes, yes. Very close.
Very close. So we got coffee a little while back, and I just loved it so much. Before we knew it, it had almost turned into lunch. And we talked about everything, but we talked about everything Grace Alliance first, which I'm so excited about. So Casey, can you give us just, besides the fact that you live in Houston,
yes,
and you write and you work, can you give us just a little bit of context for what your life looks like right now?
Yeah. So I am actually originally from California. So moved here a couple of years ago with my husband, who is from here. And we have a 10-month-old daughter, Quinn, and a golden doodle, who is our first baby.
Yeah.
So I work full-time with Grace Alliance. Worked with them for about, gosh, like 5 years, 5 or 6 years now. And so I do that full time and I love it. I get to work from home. We're kind of, our team is scattered. So it's a unique dynamic, but I love the work that I get to do.
Awesome. And you guys moved to Houston just a little bit before Harvey, I think.
Yes, so like 1 month.
Yeah, 1 month before Harvey, which is
yes,
crazy.
Welcome to Houston.
Exactly, right? And so tell everybody what the Grace Alliance is. I mean, we'll get into the work that you guys do, but give us kind of the elevator pitch of what Grace Alliance is for those of us who haven't heard of it or aren't familiar with the work that you guys do.
Yeah. So really what we are is we're a Christian nonprofit that focuses on mental health. And what we do is kind of help equip the church and families and individuals with not just Christ-centered solutions, but also things that are backed up by science. So we kind of combine the biblical and the scientific and help provide people with practical solutions. So it's not just kind of talking about things, it's how are we actually equipping with tools that can be helpful for families and individuals within the church?
Oh my goodness. I love that so much. Okay. So Christian organization that focuses on mental health. I mean, can I say that that's in the years past, I feel like that is a, sounds a little bit like an oxymoron, unfortunately. Like it sounds a little bit like jumbo shrimp, right? Like a Christian organization that works with mental health and focuses on mental health. So like what, I mean, I want you to say kind of your genesis with the organization, but how in the world did this come to be? Because I am thrilled about what you guys are doing. The more I learn about your organization, the more I love it. But it's just like, I feel like the church has, and Christian organizations maybe for some time, I don't know, maybe it's just my perception. I feel like we've separated ourselves from mental health and the people who are in need of mental health services maybe. So how did all of this happen? How did this come together?
Yeah. So our co-founder, Joe Padilla, who's now our CEO, he really kind of helped start the Grace Alliance after his journey with his wife. And his wife was struggling with mental health issues. And so he was really trying to figure out, hey, what can we do to really help her? And they had really tried everything and kind of came to this point where they're like, okay, everybody's fired. We're starting over. Right. You know, we've got to find something that works. And what
she just wasn't getting better.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, hey, you can combine all of the doctors and the medications and, you know, all of that. But
hang on, that just cut out. Say that again.
They, you know, they can combine like doctors and medications and all of that. But, you know, there was something that was missing, I think, that they felt. And so they worked with Dr. Matt Stanford, who also is one of our co-founders and was on our board for a long time. And they really kind of developed this holistic system of like, okay, look, the way that God created us is not compartmentalized. Like everything interacts with our life. And so that's how we want to create kind of the system of care. So we want to look at not just the physical, but also the mental and the spiritual and the relational. Right. And so they really started kind of implementing all of that and it worked. And so it kind of came to the point where it was like, okay, now, how can we replicate this? And I'm not going to speak for Joe on that whole process, but I think it was kind of a this tug of like, okay, wait, do I really want to do this? Like, do you know, like we just got through this with my wife and our family, and but it was just so clear that there was this gap of care when it came to, I think, especially for believers, you know, Christians and caring for their mental health. And so that's kind of the genesis of Grace Alliance overall. And it's also kind of how I got into it and how my coworker, Natalie Franks, got into it as well. You know, we were friends at the time and we were roommates, and she had been diagnosed with some mental health difficulties, and she was kind of in the process of trying to figure all of that out. And we realized like nobody is talking about this in the church. Like there was just no care that kind of intersected faith and mental health.
And what kind of time frame was this? Just so we can kind of put this in a bit of a perspective.
Gosh, yeah, this was probably around 2010
2011. Right. So recent, I mean, less than a decade ago. Yeah.
And it really is kind of, I mean, almost just miraculous to look back and see. I mean, we still have so far to go, but we have come so far in just the last decade. I mean, we were really trying to figure out, like I was working for a college Christian ministry, and you know, there was just nothing around us that was you know, talking about how do we deal with these mental health issues, but also like not leave Jesus out of it. Cause we really felt like, how can you do that? You know, it's like in the midst of all this chaos, like Jesus is the one thing that stays the same. And so how can you take him out of that? So we really started looking for something and really couldn't find a lot. And so our original plan was actually to start something on our own. Luckily, God interfered with that. And we got connected with Dr. Matt Stanford and had actually found some of his research on the church and mental health and reached out to him. He was a professor at Baylor at the time, and he is the one who actually told us about the Grace Alliance. And I remember pulling up their website, and you know, they were really small at the time. I think they had just started maybe like a year or two before that. And they were doing exactly what we wanted to do. I mean, we had written out this whole plan based on like the needs that we felt. And, I mean, our jaws just kind of dropped because we were like, okay, God, this is exactly what we have been talking about. And we don't really believe in reinventing the wheel. So, I mean, long story short, we got connected with them. I was still living in California at the time. So we started a West Coast branch and then eventually kind of merged our teams as kind of one headquarter team working remotely.
Right. I mean, this is crazy because you're talking about not reinventing the wheel, which is one thing. But, you know, I'm doing some reading right now, and there's this Mark Batterson book I'm reading and talking about like pursuing your own dreams, but then also being able to jump on board with someone else's dreams and kind of serving them and serving their vision, and how that's really important too. And that's kind of what I'm hearing from you guys. Like, you had this thing and it was not like, oh, I have to do this all by myself. Like, let's just serve their vision. It's our vision. It becomes like a combined vision then. And I know this was something we talked about at coffee, and do you feel comfortable sharing kind of that? Because I feel like it was such a God story. I'm like picturing you in this office at Baylor. So can you tell us about that? Because I kind of don't want to miss it. I know it's part of the encapsulated long story short, but I just love when you can just see God so clearly in some of those places in our lives.
Yeah, definitely. So we met with Matt Stanford, and we kind of went into it like, you know, we just kind of did one of those prayers of like, Lord, if this is what we're supposed to be doing, like if we're supposed to be working with them, we just pray that they would bring up us working with them, you know, that it would be, you know, their initiative. And so we just kind of went in with like, we have no idea what's going to happen. And so we kind of started talking, and in the middle of our conversation, Matt just kind of stopped us and was like, I think we need to start talking about you guys opening up a West Coast branch for us. And we kind of just looked at each other. We're like, okay, I guess this is happening. And, I mean, just like kind of a little bit of backstory. I studied public relations and marketing.
I was going to bring that up. I was going to say, this isn't exactly your educational or professional background. Yeah.
And then I worked in college ministry, which, you know, if you've worked in ministry at all, you do know that like it's basically counseling, but without a degree in counseling.
Especially I feel like a lot of times at the college level it is, right? You kind of have this revolving door of men or women. If you're a women's minister, you kind of have this revolving door of women coming in your office all the time.
Yes. And I loved that part, but I still did not feel at all equipped to work in any sort of mental health field. And Natalie had, she had a master's degree in occupational therapy with an emphasis in mental health. And so she was like gung ho, you know, like, this is what I want to do. You know, she had the lived experience. So it took, I mean, even after that, I was still very hesitant to do this. I mean, I was kind of like, I think I'm going to need about like 7 more signs than this is.
I mean, that's really good for all of us to hear though, because it's like, okay, well, you had this, like, it could be a storybook, right? Like, well, I prayed this specific prayer and then God answered it in a specific way. And then I just went, and then it was happily ever after. And you're kind of like, okay, well, was that really, I don't know. Maybe he didn't exactly yet. Right. And I think we do. Yep. I think we struggle with that. I mean, I'm doing a study on Gideon right now, and it's the same thing. Right? Like, I'm going to put the fleece out. Okay. Well, okay, tomorrow I'm going to put it out the other way. Yeah. So can you flip it? God? Can you do that? You know, yes. So it's like, let's look for all the other sides. So
I know.
Thanks for going there with us, because I think that's a really cool part of it. And I think that that's a really neat thing for all of us, because it's like, it's not just like a shift in a career or a change in a job. This is like a major shift for what you were doing and what you thought you would do, right? Yeah. When you got your degree and all of that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know, living through that with Natalie and trying to help her navigate all of this. I mean, there were so many days when I was like, gosh, my job is to go onto campus and like pour into these students, but I'm already so like emotionally and relationally drained because I'm trying to like figure out how to love Natalie through this and mm-hmm. how to help her through this. And, you know, for a long time, it was just kind of the two of us, you know, we didn't have any other help. And so, I think another one of my biggest fears was like, I don't know if I want this to be my life, you know, kind of like Joe, you know, it was kind of this fear of, hey, I kind of want to like move past this and do something else. Like, I don't want this, you know? And I think that that's kind of the story of like anyone who like serves in mental health or, you know, any of those kind of care fields. It's, you know, we kind of joke, like, nobody's here because they want to be here, like, you know, or because they elected to be.
Right. And there's a burnout rate.
Yes.
Right. I mean, there's a pretty hefty burnout rate, but let's talk about what you guys do, because I love that you and Natalie really represent, if I'm remembering correctly, it's like you and Natalie really represent kind of the two main groups that Grace Alliance serves. So you guys serve the person who is having the mental health challenges at the time. Right. And then you guys also serve the people who are wrapping around mm-hmm. the people who are having the mental health challenges. And so tell us how Grace Alliance serves both of those populations and what you guys do.
Yeah, I love the way you said that, the people who wrap around them, because it really is kind of true. And I think that that's what really drew us to Grace Alliance, is that we really focus not just on the individuals who are experiencing anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, you know, whatever it may be, but also the family and friends that are walking alongside mm-hmm. them. Because through our journey, we really realize like the family members and the friends need just as much, if not more, maybe sometimes support through this process. You know, they're also having to go through the process of learning and education and mm-hmm. The right ways to help care for their loved one while also empowering them. And, you know, there's a lot of kind of like, almost like second degree anxiety and depression that happens for loved ones. And so we knew that was necessary. Like, you can't leave that part out of it. And so what we really do is kind of the main part of what we do is we have small group curriculum. You can call them small groups, support groups, whatever you want to call it, for both individuals and then also family. So we have our individual groups are called our Living Grace groups. And those go through a curriculum that has an aspect of faith about a topic, and then you go into kind of some discussion questions and facts, both biblical and scientific, about the topic. And then there's practical tools of like, okay, how do we implement some of these things and this knowledge in our daily life so that it actually can help relieve some of the symptoms of these mental health difficulties. And then the same goes for the family. The family grace group is for the family members or friends. And that's really kind of learning care for yourself and also like appropriate care for your loved one. The family group is always so interesting because as I've led it, I've always had to remind them like, this group is not like for us to be here to learn how to fix your loved one. This is actually to care for you, you know,
it's
for you. And we all, I mean, I'm sure that there's areas in everyone's life that we could use that. And this is, you know, this just focuses specifically on mental health issues.
Right. That's so good that it's not about fixing them, but it's like, cause I think whenever the family would be in that situation and they might be focused on quote fixing their loved one, it's like, they don't even get a break inside of the group right. time. And it seems yeah. like the group time is designed not just to support, but empower and give them rest.
Yeah.
From exactly. maybe thinking about, you know, their time, you know, caring for the loved one, which is stressful, right? Which is yeah. why you guys exist. Tell me about both of those groups have the word grace in it. The name of your organization has the word grace yeah. in it. And I love this aspect of it. I love when we talked about this. So share with everybody, why is that important? Why is that an important word for you guys and your organization? Right. What is important about that concept when dealing with believing people who are having mental health challenges?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, part of any sort of mental health difficulty, whether it's anxiety or depression, a lot of that, you know, kind of comes with this, almost this feeling of like, I have to work for God's love, I have to earn something. And unfortunately, I think it's also kind of what has been communicated when it comes to dealing with things like anxiety and depression. You know, it's like, okay, I just need to pray harder, or, you know, like I need to have more faith, or I need to read my Bible more. And so it really kind of works us into this mode of like performance-based, you know, like love from God and from even from others. And so, kind of the main reason we really emphasize grace is that a lot of times the individuals that we're experiencing, it's like, that is exactly what they need to be reminded of is like, you can sit here and rest in God's grace. Like there is nothing that you need to do to get him to love you anymore. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I love it when we get to kind of like remind them of that in these groups, because I feel like you can just kind of see this like collective sigh of relief of like, gosh, like I just get to rest in God's grace. And so that's a really important aspect for us to just, you know, remind them of that and remind ourselves of it on a daily basis. It's like why we put grace everywhere. You know, it's kind of like, you know, that's what we need to be reminded of each day.
Do you think that there's an aspect when we're dealing with mental health that so this person didn't get most of the time, right? This person didn't get into an accident, so they don't have an injury you can see, or this person doesn't have cancer and you can see a tumor on a CAT scan or something like that. And so it's like, but something still happened, right? And so I'm wondering if it's like that works aspect that you're talking about is kind of like, well, if I had done this, if I had done this better, if I had prayed more, if I had read more of my Bible, if I had, you know, if I had had more faith, like he's like, oh my goodness, like maybe this wouldn't, it's like a backtrack almost, like maybe it wouldn't have happened to me. And if I want to get better, then I'll just do more and I'll catch up. Maybe I'll catch up to where I quote should be, and then I'll be better. Cause you can't see.
Right. Yeah.
A mental health difficulty.
Oh yeah. I mean, we kind of joke that like, you know, mental health issues are like the no casserole illness. Like, you know, it's like, because there's not like, you know, an X-ray or a blood test or, you know, so people really don't know what to do with it. And I think a lot of times it's, you know, people are quite literally saying like, is it all in my head? You know, am I making this up, or like, are they making it up? And, you know, so it is really hard. And especially like if you haven't experienced the symptoms of things like anxiety and depression, it is a very difficult thing to understand, you know, like, oh, why can't you just like make yourself feel better? You know, like, why can't you just like, everybody gets tired. Like it's hard to get out of bed in the morning. You know, there are symptoms that like we really kind of minimize, and so, but it is really hard to, I think even for an individual who is actually suffering, it's hard to not think like, maybe I'm just making this up, because there isn't like, you know, there isn't any sort of test that can prove this, you know? And I think that obviously we're seeing different things like brain scans and, you know, all of that coming out that I think, you know, I've talked to a couple of people who have done that, and it was like, I mean, for them to be able to see like, wow, this part of my brain that like affects this is actually not functioning in the way that it's supposed to be. I mean, there's just this huge, I mean, obviously like with any sort of diagnosis, there's this tension of like, gosh, like relief in a sense of like, I'm not just making this up. Like there, I can point to what's going on, but also the sense of like, wow, like now I need to discover my new normal, you know, like now this is a reality. And so figuring out like, what does life look like with that?
Right. That's so good. That's so good. And I want to go back to the groups that you're doing, but I just love the, grace aspect of it because I just think it's so important. I mean, it's been named so well and it is, it's a reminder. It's like every time you open up that workbook, every time, you know, they go to a group, it's a reminder of why they're there and what God has intended for, not just for them, but for all of us, is to rest in his grace. So these two different kinds of groups that you have, one for the individual and one for the people caring for the individual, where do these typically take place? And like, how do people find out about them?
Right. So they are kind of all over the place. So most of them, I would say, probably meet in churches. Some meet in people's homes. We have probably, I think we're at like over 300, we're approaching 350 groups.
Amazing.
Nationwide, around the world.
Incredible. Wow.
Yeah. So it's been, I think like just demonstrating the need, you know, it's like,
for sure.
Because we really like, our team is so small and we have done zero advertising. And like, that's not like a, I'm trying to say what we're doing is so great. I'm just saying like that because what we see with that is the need. Like there is a need for this support and for tools and especially within the church. And so,
well, it's the need. I'm going to interrupt for a second. It's the need, but it's also the I don't want to say results and make it sound very numbers driven, but I think it's the fruit. Really, we want to spiritualize it. It's the fruit of what you guys are seeing because with no advertising and 350 groups and growing, like people are going to try it and they're going to say, oh my goodness. Like, because they have people, I think, within their communities, right? When you're dealing with mental health issues, you tend to meet people who are dealing with those kinds of things as well. Yes. And then that person is going to say, oh snap, have you heard of what this Grace Alliance is doing? Right. And so I think that you guys, with obviously with God's help and anointing in this space, have landed on some stuff that really works. And so you don't need advertising when people are like, this is it, you know, like we're actually seeing some health and wellness and healing and well-being coming out of some of these groups, you know, which is just so fantastic. Yes, there's a need, but whatever you guys are doing, it's working. So you're saying you're doing them in churches, you're doing them in homes.
Yes. And you can, if you go on our website, we list out all of the locations of groups that are open. You know, some groups kind of decide like, hey, we're just going to keep this a private group. And so they don't advertise on our website.
Right.
But if people do want to register their groups and publicize them, they're all listed on our website. And the training to facilitate a group, to learn how to lead a group, is free. It's on our website. It just takes you, it's a video course that you go through. And there's kind of a guide to take you through it. We give you all the slides from our PowerPoint, that we take you through. So, you know, it's, we really wanted this to be as accessible as possible.
Right.
You know, we realized like when we first started, we were doing all of the trainings live, whether it was like on over video or in person. And finally it just got to be to the point where we're like, we just don't have the capacity to keep up with the growth. And so we recorded all the videos so that it would be accessible. I mean, it's like, you can sit in your pajamas and watch the videos.
And the
reason that I think that the groups might be growing also is just because we created them in a way that they could be led by anybody. You don't have to, I mean, like myself, you don't have to have a mental health professional background. You know, most, I would say most of who are leading our groups are people who have been affected by you know, mental health difficulties, whether they're with their family member or themselves. And I think that that is also what is so special about the process is just getting to see the Lord really move in people's lives to the point where, you know, they've kind of gone through this, like in a sense, a grieving process of like, hey, this is either like my reality or my loved one's reality. And, you know, there's a whole process with that, that we talk about in the Family Grace Group book that, you know, it's like, there's shock and denial with that. And then, but at the end, what, you know, the way that God intended that grieving process to be is like, it ends up in this new strength and this new result. Wow. And also incredible empathy. And so that's where we see so many of our group facilitators coming from is, you know, it's like, okay, I've walked through this and I'm a little bit further along in the process. You know, it's kind of like discipleship. And, you know, it's like, okay, and now I want to help others. I want to help other families. I want to help other individuals. And so I really do have to, I know I keep like pushing things off of us, but like I have to give so much credit to our group facilitators because they are on the front lines. Like they're the ones doing the hard work. They are loving people in the midst of crisis and, you know, difficult situations. And they're the ones multiplying the groups. And it's fun to see those groups multiply. Like they'll start, you know, we started even before Natalie and I came on with the Grace Alliance. There was a group in San Diego that had been running for a while. And that group has multiplied into maybe like 12 groups.
Wow, that's
over
incredible.
The years. And it's just like, you know, for a while it was the only group around. And so people were driving 45 minutes, an hour to the group and finally decided, hey, I'm going to take this group and start at my own church. And so that's how it, we're really seeing it multiply is, okay, I've been through it now. And now like I feel equipped enough to take it into my own church.
Right. So, I mean, they have sensitivity and empathy and they want to help, which is so big. And that's what people need. So you're right. Yeah. I mean, it's not like you have to be a professional. You just have to be a little bit further along than someone else. But I want to address this because especially I was thinking about it, but especially when you said that these groups, you've seen them multiply and maybe one group has made 10 or 12 groups and you might have some of these other ones, but I'm thinking, okay, number one, because there might be people out there thinking, oh, okay. So is this like, is it really because there's a need or is there, you know, is there something else behind it? Right? Like what? Like really that many people actually need this. But the other thing is, talk about when you go, when either, whether it's you guys or whether it's a 2B small group facilitator goes into a church for the first time or talks to a pastor for the first time, because this was something that I loved. You and I talked about. It's like, most churches don't need more programming, right? Like most churches really feel like, okay, we got this. Like all the Sunday school rooms are filled. We've got lots of home groups. We've got all this stuff. Our bulletin is full of things that we're trying to do, youth groups and children's activities and marriage events and singles events and men's and women's and whatever it is. And they're like, oh yeah, that's exactly what I need is one more program.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what, I mean, talk about that because I think it's so cool that in a church world where we're kind of full to the brim with programming, you guys are growing. So what do those conversations look like?
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that we kind of joked about, you know, like I worked in ministry. And so I know what it's like when outside people come in and they're like, right, I've got this great program. And it's like, look, our schedule was booked like 6 months ago.
Right, right.
You know, and like we have our own things going on and, you know, we have our own initiatives. And so we really like when we approach a pastor or when individuals within the church are approaching pastors, really kind of our goal actually is to relieve the pastoral staff, is to relieve the church leadership because, you know, a lot of times individuals who are experiencing the symptoms of a mental health difficulty, like they're looking for help. And so they're going to the pastors and maybe it's over and over and over again. And, you know, so because pastors, like, I mean, I like these pastors love and care for their congregation so much, but they, like most of them have never been given the opportunity to have any sort of education about this.
Right. And so it just kind of comes with the job.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, they have to deal with it. Yeah,
exactly. And so what these groups do is, I mean, I would say, I mean, this is a huge guesstimate, but I would say like 95% of our groups are led by people in the church, not church leaders, not pastors. Right. And so what you're doing is providing a place for support. And so, I mean, we've actually had like a couple who has come in to see the pastor regarding their loved one who was, you know, experiencing mental health difficulties. And it just happened that the Family Grace group was meeting at the exact same time in their church that this couple came in, and the pastor knew this and literally just walked them straight over into this
group.
Yes. And it's like, I mean, that is like the ideal, you know,
right.
It's like, that's how like we would ideally love for it to work. And it's not like a, oh, here, I don't want to deal with this. It's
absolutely.
No, these are people who I think can actually help you more, you know,
help you more. Right.
They understand and they've been there, and some of them are behind you in the process. Some of them are ahead of you in the process, and they understand. And that's like kind of the mantra that we hear like from people is like, gosh, people just get it. Like they understand what I'm experiencing. And like, as they've tried to explain it to like friends or other family members who haven't walked through this, and they've kind of gotten the blank stares, and not because people don't want to understand, but they just don't understand. And so when they walk into these groups, it is this huge sigh of relief of like, oh my gosh, like I'm amongst like my people, you know, it's like my these people understand and they get it. So that is really kind of the goal with it, is to provide a place where there is support among the church, where people can go and pastors can refer them to, knowing that they will be cared for there.
Right. And I think that's so great, because I feel like when people are dealing with this in their life, if it's them who's affected or if it's their family members, they go to the pastor because they automatically think and they assume, and it's a good assumption because that's a pastor's job, right? Is they say, this is what you're here for. This is what you can do. But I think a lot of them end up going to the pastor with those types of problems. I'm guessing here again too, but I think it's because we, and I'm going to say we kind of as the church body, want to help, but we don't always know how.
Yes.
Especially if we don't fit that bill, where we haven't really been affected in our lives yet, by that. And so it's like, we know how to do other things. We know how to create a meal train when someone has a baby, right? We know how to care for newlyweds. We're probably not as good, but we try if there's a death in the family or something like that. Right. But those are kind of the common life events that are seen too. Right. And so you can't hide it when you have a baby, like you have a baby. but I think with this mental health stuff, kind of like you said, there's a lot of things working there. There's number one, it's often hidden, you know, number two, so they may feel like confidentiality wise, maybe they don't want to go to their regular small group or their Sunday school class, you know, so they go to the pastor. But then even if it does come out, if there's some sort of traumatic event or if someone just shares it, maybe as a prayer request, I feel like we, as the body, we want to help. But I feel like a lot of times, and I've seen this even in my own life, where people, you know, just a few steps away from me have been experiencing that. And I'm like, I want to help, but I don't really know how to help or what to do. And so it's so great that they can have this shared experience. And and so it's not just like they get the physical logistical support they need. It's like they get the emotional support they need. Of like, I don't have to explain every single thing. I don't have to tell this story 10 times. I don't have to say, well, you don't really understand. We tried this doctor and we tried this doctor. Like there's a, with me, they're going to start from zero. But with someone in that group, maybe they start at five or 10, right?
Exactly.
And they don't have to tell maybe everything. I can see that. And I can see how that would really minister to them to create a peace and to create a feeling of comfort that they could share and start moving forward instead of having to get the back.
Yes,
you know, the
exactly.
back story all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, it provides kind of a good setting for them to really start to understand like, hey, this isn't just spiritual, you know, or it's not just physical. It's not just relational. It's not just, you know, whatever, you know, category you want to pick. And I think that kind of the education that comes with that of like, hey, let's look at how we can, you know, help care for ourselves or our loved ones, in the way that really that God created us. You know, it's like body, mind, spirit, you know,
right.
or physical, mental, spiritual, relational, however you want to divide it up. And starting to understand, okay, like let's look at the whole person. And that's really kind of what our, what we emphasize is, you know, how can we address like all of those areas, and really create more of this holistic. And I think like, we're scared of that word holistic because right. it feels like, you know, kind of Eastern, you know,
right.
medicine.
New agey,
you know?
Or something. Right. Yes. Yeah.
But it's like really, I mean, and kind of what we call it is like whole health, you know, like mm-hmm. let's not just look at one area, you know, and kind of what Natalie and I had to learn, you know, the hard way, I think, was you also just need a team of people around you. Like there yes. is no one person who should be your support. And that is, I think, really crucial to know that, you know, like, okay, yes, these groups can be your support. Like, yes, you can still go talk to your pastor. Like he can be part of your support team. Like
right.
a doctor can be part of your support team, your family members, your friends. It's just important, like, you know, just like, you know, we read about in scripture, like with the body of Christ, like every person plays a different role. And
right.
so it's important to know that like, there's not going to be just one person who will fix everything.
Right.
And, you know, so just knowing like, okay, let's surround ourselves with people who will support us and be healthy and who we can also support. I think that, you know, that was a big part of Natalie's like healing process was like, she wanted to know, hey, like, I want you to know that like, I'm still your friend. Like I'm not
helpless right.
in this. Like I want to be like, I want to have purpose and give back. And like, I want you to be able to tell me when you're having a hard day. And so, you know, this kind of the groups allow for, I think a lot of that to really, be cultivated.
Right. And what I heard when you were saying that too, is it's like, it's so good for the person experiencing the difficulty to understand there's not one just one person who's going to do that. But I think for the support group as well, like it's important for maybe mama or husband or whoever it is to know I'm not the only one,
yes.
right? I'm not the person who's going to provide everything that my loved one needs. My loved one needs a village. And,
yes.
you know, some of those people are going to be friends. Some of them are going to be hired. Some of them are going to be professionals. And it's going to take a lot of different people with a lot of different skill sets to make that happen. And
yeah.
And the holistic part, I love it because I feel like as a body of believers, in a lot of ways, I feel like we're moving more and more towards that. And we're no longer really associating like holistic with like acupuncture or
red right.
herbs or something like that. Right. It's
yes.
like, it's like, okay, well, holistic means yeah, that God made us with all of these parts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was even hearing a sermon the other day and he said, if you're at a funeral and you hear ashes to ashes, dust to dust, you're not hearing God's word there because God made your body and your body's going to resurrect. Right. And so this
right.
is not, he's saying, this is like philosophical. If you're hearing that. And it was, he was being abrupt to make a point, right? Where he's
right.
saying your body doesn't, it doesn't just dissolve and then nothing else happens with it. Right. And so it's like, God made us with all of these parts from now on, we're
yeah.
going to be all of these parts. And so it's so important, but I think even in what I do, which is money, and I say that I look at it in a holistic way and sometimes I get the look, right? But then, you know, you start explaining like, well, think about it. If you're having money problems, you're going to feel stressed out. If you feel stressed out, then maybe you're not going to eat as well. If you're not eating as well, you know, like it's
yes.
even just money is going to affect it. Or I have a dear friend who's a holistic nutrition coach, right? And I saw her as a client and I felt like 80, it was probably only about 10 or 12 pages of, yes. of history, you know, but at the same time, no one has ever been able to name and lead me to a diagnosis better than she did because she looked at all of these areas at the same time
yes,
and was
exactly.
able to make connections that no other practitioner really could because they were looking at one thing
right.
apart from another thing when God made us to designed as a system,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is so good. And in that vein, but kind of going a little bit deeper into that, can you, in the time we have left, can you tell us about kind of the new things that you guys have coming? Because you have some stuff coming that it just makes me really excited, not just for the Grace Alliance, but kind of where I feel like we're going in the church caring for people with mental health difficulties.
Yeah. So we have, our workbooks are about to be updated. And so we have some, for those Living and Family Grace Group workbooks, that is going to be completely, redone with the same, message and all of that. So those are going to be released in January. You'll be able to order them then. And again, the training to facilitate those is free. We'll redo the video so that it matches everything. And we're excited to kind of like just keep moving forward as we, are really coming alongside the church and equipping the church. Like our main thing was like, we don't want to take the role of the church or the congregation. It's like, we really just want to come alongside and help equip. And so those are going to be available in January.
Awesome. Do you want to talk about what you're doing with younger people?
Oh, yes.
Yay. I'm so excited. I didn't know about the updates, but I'm glad I know now.
Yes.
tell us whatever you want us to know about that, because that makes me excited too.
Yes. So yeah, one of the things that we really felt strongly about was because Natalie and I's experience really started when she was a college student. And so we really felt like, hey, we need to specifically address, what an average student experiences. And so we have a newer book called Redefine Grace, and it is specifically for high school and college students. Into some of those topics that they're dealing with, and it's shorter, so it fits within either a semester or a quarter system. And we've had them going at several campuses now. Even churches are hosting them, youth groups are hosting them, and so those are available on our website. And we really believe like this is the key place to address mental health issues, because it's when a lot of those mental health issues kind of start to take place and start to surface. And, it's like there's the pressures of school and, maybe going off to school and living on your own for the first time. I think even like high school and sadly even younger than that are starting to just experience so much stress. And I think that a lot of times that is what triggers, deeper anxiety and depression. Our hope, like in the long run, is like more preventative, hey, let's talk about this ahead of time. Like, let's normalize this conversation so that, it's just part of like what you're aware of. Like the awareness is already there. We can watch out for it. Like mental health is part of like, when you go for your annual checkup, it's like, it becomes normalized to really care for your mental health. And so this is, I think we're still a ways away from that. Like we still have some catching up to do. And so, that's what these tools are for, is really to address like, okay, the students who are currently like suffering, let's help address some of those issues. Let's give them some tools. Let's let them, have a place, a safe place to kind of talk through that. While also not having to sacrifice their faith and being able to show them that like all of that can be integrated together. It doesn't have to be separated.
Right. That's so good. Thank you for that. Because I'm like, also, I think just even what you mentioned before of like some of the family members coming in and feeling like, oh my goodness, these are my people. And I feel like with those kind of teenage and young adult years, I think so many people suffer in isolation because they just think no one else feels this way, or maybe they're afraid to talk about it. But if they can have a group, I feel like maybe they could have a similar experience, right? Of like, these people understand me, or I'm not weird, or I'm not alone, and go through the process of healing together.
Right.
Which I think is just so great. So, oh my goodness, Casey, thank you. I'm so glad that we made this work today. I had to cancel our first run. We almost had to cancel because of the storm coming in today, but I'm so glad that you were here. Can you tell everybody how we can find out more about the Grace Alliance? Where can we find you guys on the web and on social?
Yeah. So you can find us. Our website is just mentalhealthgracealliance.org. And then we are on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us, just type in the Grace Alliance on both of them. We are kind of active on all of those. And we love like interacting with people, and we have blogs that we post probably about like 3 to 4 times a month that discuss kind of these hot topics with mental health and faith and anything to do with that. So, you know, you can subscribe to our newsletter on there as well.
Awesome. And then I think maybe we'll put a link to your bio page on Family Christian, because Casey writes about other stuff, but she also writes about this mental health from a Christian women's perspective, since that's kind of what that magazine is all about. So if that's okay with you, we'll kind of link to that too, so that people can find you there. Awesome. Thank you so much, Casey. I appreciate you being with us today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right. Talk soon.
So thank you again so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you won't miss an episode. Share the link with your friends. You can visit us at thatmakestotalsense.com. And until next time, this is Alexis Busetti, remembering to do well for ourselves so we can do good for others. Bye.